Wednesday was a good day for the markets.
All three indexes, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, on track for their best day in 7 years.
1,100 points for the biggest one-day point gain ever.
Ever. Did I mention those gains came 2 days after this? 'Cause you had a bad
day, you take it one day. This is the worst December for U.S. stocks since the Great Depression in the 1930s.
Stocks took a huge tumble on the shortened Christmas Eve trading day.
And lately, we've been hearing some people talking about the R word.
Big, big concern for 2019 about a recession.
Glass half empty.
We actually see the recession odds.
60%.
Does that mean a recession is coming?
It's not there quite. It's getting closer. I see that.
We're going to make sense of what you should and shouldn't be worried about when it comes to your money. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. I've got two guests with me now to help try and figure some of this out. Chris Farrell is a senior economics contributor at Marketplace. Welcome to The Takeaway, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure. And Campbell Harvey is a professor of finance at Duke University. Thanks for being with us, Campbell.
Great to be on the show.
Chris, let's start with you. The stock market is not the same as the economy. And in the economy, there have been some bright spots. We've seen consumer spending is high. Unemployment is below 4%. So what is going on? We keep hearing this news that's coming out of the stock market that everything's negative.
So what the stock market's trying to do is anticipate, or investors really are trying to do, is anticipate what lies in our future, what's ahead, because you're absolutely right. For the typical person, the typical worker, what really matters is the unemployment rate. That's 3.7%. And then if you want to look at financial assets, it's not the stock market. It's housing that matters, and housing has slowed down. But this volatility, this concern with the stock market, the discussion about the recession, this is all about trying to figure out what lies in our future, because the evidence, I think, is fairly clear that the economy is starting to slow down, and that raises the question, by how much?
And we've seen these huge swings up and down. We're hearing whispers about a recession. The markets rallied yesterday. I mean, how do we make sense of any of this? Because I think most Americans, I know I am having whiplash trying to keep up, Chris.
Right. And this is what the professionals do. This is what people like Campbell Harvey do in terms of trying to figure out what is going on here. For the typical person, look, you have to step back. You have to say, look, job market's still good. You know, my housing is holding its value fairly well. And in terms of what the stock market is doing, we've had this enormous fiscal stimulus, which was the tax cut. And the tax cut came into this economy. It boosted growth, I'm rounding off the numbers, from 2% to 3%. Now it appears that that tax cut effect is fading, and we're going back down somewhere around 2%. But keep watching that job market. As of right now, the job market remains strong.
Campbell, I want to turn to you right now. NPR's Planet Money calls you the OG yield curve whisperer, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. But I'm wondering if you can help us understand why or should Americans be putting a lot of emphasis on what they see in this whiplash day-to-day activities of the stock market?
So the stock market is a classic false prophet of what is going to happen in the economy. It is predicted 9 of the last 4 recessions accurately. So there's a huge amount of noise in the stock market. Nevertheless, when volatility picks up, and we've seen volatility triple over the last year, that is not good news. So it means that there's additional uncertainty in the economy. People that are investing in the stock market, managers, uncertain as to what will happen next. And that induces risk. That induces second thinking about investments, about hiring in the future. So it's definitely not good news, but we need to be careful because it delivers a lot of false signals.
So let's talk about you. You talk about the 4 economic horsemen. The first one is this sort of volatility, right? The up, the down, the swing, the back, the forth. What are the other 3?
Yeah. So volatility, as I said, is not good news. It means risk is increased, and it can lead to decreased economic activity. So the other, I call them the four horsemen of the next recession. Number two is the result of the Duke CFO survey, a survey that's been going on for almost 25 years. And last week we released the numbers, and it was striking that 50% of CFOs thought a recession would start in 2019, and 82% believe that it will start by 2020. So they're definitely thinking recession. Number three is essentially the anti- trade sort of policies that are happening in the world are now taking effect. So last year it was just bluster, and now we can actually see the effect. I'm not just talking about the U.S. and China. Perhaps the biggest example of this is what will happen in Europe with Brexit. And I don't know, you put all of this together, and the very last one, the fourth horseman, is the yield curve.
Now that's your thing, right? You're the OG yield curve whisperer. Now, for those of us who did not go to and study the depth of economics, including me, what is a yield curve? Why does it matter? And what are you whispering to us about, Campbell?
So this is the idea that usually a longer-term interest rate, let's say a 10-year bond, the yield on that is higher than a short-term interest rate, like a treasury bill. But in certain times, that relation gets reversed. And that's when the short rate is higher than the long rate, and it's called an inverted yield curve. My dissertation at the University of Chicago in 1986 demonstrated that that preceded recessions by 12 to 18 months. And in contrast to the stock market, it didn't deliver any false signals. And indeed, after my dissertation was published, it has continued to be a reliable indicator, including a prediction of the global financial crisis.
But you know what, Campbell? Recession. The thing is, yield curve isn't as sexy as recession, I think, right? When we're talking about that in terms of economic understanding. I want to pivot for a minute to Chris here, because Chris, we talked on Wednesday's show about rising interest rates and specifically the economy and the housing market. You mentioned that at the top of the show. What role does the Fed play as a check on the economy, Chris?
So there's been this huge debate. So the Fed has been raising its interest rates. And a lot of this turmoil dates back to the last two increases in its fundamental interest rate that the Fed has done. And you know what? This has been well signaled. This is well known. And the Fed has been very clear about what it is doing. And there's this fundamental debate about whether they should be doing it or not doing it, considering inflation's tame and let's go with this low unemployment rate. What has sort of changed this discussion is the Trump effect. And Trump has raised the level of uncertainty. And so he's made this whole increase by the Fed that they well signaled in their interest rate all about him. And that Trump effect, I think that might be the fifth horseman of the concerns that Campbell Harvey is raising, is that the Fed, that Trump has made the Fed move highly controversial and made it about him. And so therefore, this increase in the Fed's rate that was well signaled and would have had some effect has had a much more dramatic effect than you would have expected.
I want to pivot a minute there to Campbell, because we were talking about the yield effect here, Campbell. But we know that our economy operates in cycles, as we've seen. We've been out of a recession since 2009. Is it just a matter of time until the economy contracts? Is that what your research is showing us?
Yeah, so we know the cycles, but the cycles, the length of the cycles is variable. So there's an asymmetry that's very interesting, that when you're in a recovery, it's incredibly difficult to forecast when the recession will start. Right now, we're 114 months since the trough of the last recession. And that's long compared to historically, the average is 58 months. So we're past due, but it's very difficult to actually call that turning point. In contrast, when you're in a recession, it's very easy to figure out a decent forecast of when you're going to come out because they're fairly short.
I want to get in one more question here, though, before we wrap. We've got about 30 seconds left. People are probably worried about their 401ks. Chris, do you have any last thoughts on that?
Look, you can't control this, what's going to happen to the stock market, but you can look at your household. Too much debt? Reduce your debt. So do what you can control, your household finances. As far as the stock market, leave that to the pros.
Chris, yeah, those were Campbell, your thoughts on that. 401ks, we've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, de-risk. So this is the time to make sure your savings account is well supplied.
Chris Farrell is a senior economics contributor at Marketplace, and Campbell Harvey, who we just heard, is a professor of finance at Duke University. Chris and Campbell, thanks for helping us understand a little bit more about the economy.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.